Well, let me say this to you. Increase is going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something, but the result is well worth it, right? Well worth it. I remember in South Africa when we started to see the increase in attendance in the church, and we had the people off the street, you know, the hobos, whatever you call them, street people. I don't know what some of the names, what would you call them? Homeless, okay, drug addicts, alcoholics, and they come in and they don't wear perfume. Mm-hmm. Different kind. And they began to fill in 20s and 30s and 40s. That's a challenge because you're wanting people to be saved. But the interesting thing is you want to choose who's going to get saved. People like me needs to be saved so I can identify with them. And yet God will send in people that you don't identify with you. So it was an uncomfortable thing, but we were having increase. We're having increase. So get ready. You may have something different coming your way. But are you prepared to pay the price? I know you are. I know you are. And I tell you now, but paying the price is never going to be comfortable. It's never going to be comfortable. It's always going to be uncomfortable moving forward. And we're talking about moving forward and increase. So are you ready to come out of your comfort zone? Yes. Say, I'm ready.
Ready.
Say, push.
Push.
Say, dig.
Dig.
It's time to move.
Ready.
Say, I'm ready to move.
Ready to move.
Move from what? Move from fear to faith.
Yes.
From sickness to health. From poverty to wealth.
Yes.
From sadness to joy. From down to destiny, from pain to purpose, from living under the circumstances to living above in victory. Amen? You're going to come out of being people that are struggling with the lack into walking in abundance. And you're going to have success where there was failure. Not going to be a loser anymore. You're going to be a winner. You're going to go from decrease to increase. Say, push. Dig.
I'm moving on.
In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to give you to this morning. We're going to give you 7 things that you can do that will achieve this increase that you're looking for, but will also maintain the increase. And that's very, very important. And what I want to do is give you what I call these are achievable goals. These are practical things that you can do in your life. Everybody can do it if you're willing to pay the price. And we're going to read from the Good Samaritan. Jesus was asked, who is your neighbor? And he tells the story found in Luke 10 and verse 30. Jesus said there was a man who was on his way down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. And they stripped him of his clothes. They beat him, and then they went away, leaving him half dead. And a priest happened to come down and the same road, and seeing the man, he just crossed over and left him. Then a Levite came down, also came to the same place, saw the man as well, just left him and went his way. Finally, a Samaritan came down. And as he traveled, he came to the man where the man was, and he took pity on him. And he bound his wounds with oil and with wine, cleaned his wounds up, put him on his own donkey, and took him to the inn, and took care of him all night. Sat with him and nursed him all night. He was a complete stranger. And in the morning, he went to the innkeeper and he said, here's 2 pieces of silver. Please take care of them until I return. And if there's anything else that I owe you, I'll pay you when I come. Wow. Wow. See, this man went the extra mile. This man was digging. This man was pushing. This man was saying, whatever you need, even though it's a stranger, I'm going to love you with the love of God. I'm going to do whatever I can to help you on your journey and not just leave you where I found you in the ditch. Many people you'll come across in life are actually in the ditch. They may not admit it, but they know. They're in a ditch. Could be a spiritual ditch. Could be a financial ditch. Could be a sickness ditch. Could be a relationship ditch. Could be a marriage ditch. But they're lying on the side of the road bleeding. And they're wondering who's going to stop and help them. Say, I will.
I will.
Say, I will.
I will.
Come on, one more time. Say, I will.
I will.
Say, I'm a good Samaritan. You can have what you say. You need to say that about yourself, that you're a good Samaritan. You're not going to walk to the other side of the street. So here we go. We're going to give you the seven things. So write them down. The first thing is this. You need to do more than you paid to. Talking about increase, we're talking about a lifelong increase. You've got to do more than you are paid to. That is what volunteers do. Every person volunteering in the church is doing more than they paid to. Because they're paid nothing. But they're doing more than they're being paid to. The same thing would be true at work. If you want to gain ascendancy at work, here's a secret. Do more than you pay to. Do more than you pay to. See, the scripture tells us if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you're willing and obedient. We're talking about doing more than you are paid to. Speaks of a willing heart. A heart willing to make sacrifices. Whether you're being recognized for it or not, it doesn't matter. The willing and obedient will eat the good of the land. Well, if you're going to eat the good of the land, you're going to drive the good of the land. You're going to live in the good of the land. You're going to wear the good of the land. I don't honestly think that God wants you to eat steak, filet mignon, and lobsters, and drive a bicycle. That doesn't make any sense. Or live on the street, right? Or have to live in somebody else's home because you don't have a place of your own. No, God wants you to live off the good of the land, to wear the good of the land, drive the good of the land, eat the good of the land. That's the way God is. He's not schizophrenic. He can't say, eat good, but suffer the rest. No. All right? If willing and obedient, you shall do it. Number two, you need to give a little more than you have to. Give a little more than you have to. You see, giving should never be a have to. If it's coming from a willing heart, it should never be a have to. The scripture says that the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters others will be watered himself. So this is where you give a little more than you have to. In other words, this is where you come to that portion that's over and above, that Hayne was talking about, that little Jessica was talking about, that the other Jessica was talking about. I was just looking for a word. The tall Jessica. Okay. They were talking about doing something more than they had done before. Now, let me just share with you, we're a generous church. We're a generous body. We've learned these principles. We apply them in our own life, but we also apply them corporately in the church. We're facing a Goliath right now. If you look around, you see there's not many empty seats. And we can say, praise the Lord. But this means we're bursting at the seams, and we're facing a problem of having a bigger facility. So I know how to solve this problem. Smaller chairs. Children's church chairs. Little ones. How small can you go? Cozy, cozy, cozy. Everybody say give.
Give.
Say give your way out the ghetto.
Give
your way into your destiny. If you're a faith people and you know how to believe God, there's only one way to solve this problem. This church has to give in order to receive what we need. That's the faith principle. That's the way it goes. You see, having bake sales, never going to cut it. Not when you need $1 million for or $750,000 for an acre of land. You're never going to cut it, okay? And we also need it like now. So, knowing the principles of God, this year seeing this blessing that we're facing, decided to increase the giving of this church. And as of our first quarter, we have given 28% of our gross income. 3 months have gone by, literally 30%. It's about one-third. It's about 1 month of the income has been given away. We've given to Sister Padma. We have given to Ed Horrock, who's remodeling his church, his new church in Seattle. We just sent money to South Africa to a son of the Lord who's busy, just occupied his new facility. We've sent mission money here and there and so on and so forth. We've been giving to benevolence funds. We've been given to widows and to orphans. We've been in every way we can. But now listen carefully to me. The major way that God is going to get the return back to us is through you. See, I asked the mafia if they would help, and they said, no, no, no. That's what they said. They're not interested. They don't forget about it. What am I saying? God is going to prosper you. He's going to prosper you because you're the channels he's going to use. And over and above that, he's going to send it in a completely obscure way, just like Hang and Anya had the IRS give them that huge amount of. God can do all kinds of stuff, but we have got to prepare the way. Amen? We got to dig ditches. We got to do what we got to do. And this is one thing we can do because it is a faith ministry. We have to trust God for going forward. And you're going to have to trust God for going forward. So you're going to have to give a little more than you used to. All right? That's number two. Number three, you're going to have to try harder than you want to. Proverbs 10:4 says, the diligent hands brings wealth. Diligent hands bring wealth. So you're going to have to try a little harder than you want to. What does that mean? It means going the extra mile. When somebody says, go with me 1 mile, go with them two. This requires discipline. It's the same thing if you're working out in the gym and you get tired and you're no. Yeah, now this is when you dig in. This is when you really burn it. This is when you push it. This is when you go further than you've ever been before. And that's uncomfortable. All right? You've got to try harder than you've ever been before. Now, I'd like to skip number four, but I'm going to have to say it. Consume less than you desire to. Everybody say that. Consume less than you desire to. Yeah, you see, it's both quantity and quality. It's not eating the bad stuff and eating less even of the general mountain. And we're talking about health, we're talking about wealth, and we're talking about relationships. Folks, listen, you know what the Bible says about a man who can't control his eating? The Bible calls him a glutton. You know what the solution the Bible says? Anybody know? It says, put a knife to your throat. That's tough. I mean, that's tough love. A knife to your throat. Why? Because actually you're killing yourself anyway by eating the wrong stuff. So please, take note of that. Start to eat healthy. All right? Start to eat healthy. Number five, help more than you need to. Like the Good Samaritan. Just help more than you need to. Number six, waste less time than you like to. Waste less time than you like to. This is talking about procrastination. And if you don't know what that means, it means getting off your rusty dusty. In plain English, it means don't waste time on frivolous things. It's okay to have R&R and to have relax and to cut back and all that kind of stuff, but don't make that the lifestyle. You've got to be willing not to waste time, because listen to me, time, once wasted, is the only asset that you have that can never, ever be regained. Doesn't matter how much time you put in there after, you can't get back what you've lost. So please, value your time. Value it. Make it count. Put in some effort into doing the right things with your time. And then finally, give God more time than you used to. We heard about intimacy a couple of weeks ago, and it really touched our heart. I think it was the Sunday night service. Through prayer, Bible study, going to church, make intimacy a priority. Every day of your life, when you get up, make intimacy a priority. If you don't, I can tell you right now, our lives are so busy that that moment will be lost, and you'll rush out headlong into the world and into the day without the calmness and the peace and the wisdom and the direction of the Holy Spirit. And you will try and tackle the the problems of this life on your own. God loves you, but if you won't give him the time necessary for him to work in your life to bring about that peace and that connection, you won't hear when he speaks to you and says, turn left. Or do this, or do that, or don't do that. You know why? Because you're not sensitive. Listen to me. Faith leaks. Faith leaks. And if you're not staying in the intimate relationship with God on a daily basis, your relationship with God will wane. It's a terrible thing, but it happens. It'll grow cold, it'll grow stale, and you know what'll start to happen? You'll start to think like, it's not necessary to go to church, not every week. I certainly don't have to pray every day, because obviously he's a God of grace. And I don't have to come to prayer meeting before service. And surely if I come 10 minutes into worship, it's not that bad. They're just singing to waste time until we can start preaching, right? You haven't understood this walk with God yet. You haven't understood it. We are his temple, and he lives in us, and he wants an intimate relationship with us. That's what he wants. Don't hold back from that intimacy with God. Everything that you do depends upon that. So please, make sure you do it. All right? Now, I'm going to give you some secrets to increase, and then we're done this morning, trying to keep it short. So let me talk to you a little bit about Abraham. Abraham is now an old man, and he wants to get a wife for his son Isaac. So he gets his most trusted servant, Eliezer, and he says to him, I want you to take 10 camels, load them with jewels, everything else, and I want you to go to the certain place and go find a wife for my son Isaac. And we pick the story up in Genesis 24, verse 10. And the servant, Eliezer, took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. Now, all the treasure of his master was under his hand. Was Abraham a rich dude? Like, he was the wealthiest guy in the East, right? And Eliezer, the trusted servant, had access to all of his wealth. He oversaw all of his wealth. Now, let me just share something with you here, all right? Little symbolism. It'll help you get the real story behind this, looking back from the New Testament, what was going on. Isaac is a symbolic person of who? Symbolizes who? Jesus. If you didn't know, Isaac is the promised child. Symbolizes Jesus. Well, then who would Abraham symbolize? The Father, right? Father, no problem. So now who does Eliezer symbolize? Holy Spirit. Guys, you guys are quick. You really are quick. We have the Father wanting a wife for Jesus, Isaac. So he sends the Holy Spirit with 10 camels. Fully loaded with jewels. What are the 10 camels? They're the 10 gifts of the Holy Spirit. You say, but there's only 9. Caught you. That's why you came to church this morning. The first gift you receive is when you receive the Holy Spirit. It's a prayer language. It's not one of the 9 gifts. It's a gift that you can turn on and off anytime you want to. Just pray in tongues anytime you want to. Then there are 9 other gifts as the Spirit wills. But praying in tongues is as you will. So there's 10. Now watch this. The Holy Spirit is the administrator of the wealth of the kingdom of God. And the Holy Spirit is seeking a bride for Jesus. Are you going to be part of the bride? If you do what I'm telling you, you will be. And the Holy Spirit comes with the riches and the wealth of heaven. Everything heaven has got to offer you, he brings, including himself. And he comes to woo you to be a bride for son Jesus. Now you have a choice. Do I respect? Do I respond? Do I honor? Do I say yes? Do I receive? Or do I choose to reject being a bride for Jesus? and live the way I want to without Christ in my life. Your choice. So Eliezer goes off to the place where he's looking for the wife, and he prays. He says, God, when I get there, have the maiden of your choice offer me something to drink and then offer to water my camels without me asking. The Bible says in verse 15, same chapter, before he had finished praying, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came back again. The servant, Eliezer, hurried to meet her and said, please give me a little water from your jar. And she said, drink, my lord. And look what she did. She quickly lowered the jar off her shoulder into her hands and gave him to drink. While he was drinking, she said, after she'd given him something to drink, she said, and I'll draw water for your camels too. Until they have finished drinking. Notice what she said. Until they have finished drinking. So she quickly, not slowly, quickly emptied the jar into a trough and ran back. Ran back to get more water for the camels. And she drew more water. And then she came and she gave until all the camels had had enough to drink. Do you know how much water a camel can drink? Everybody say a lot. But they say on average, a camel who is thirsty can drink 25 gallons. Multiply that by 10. 250 gallons. How much was in her little jar on her shoulder? How many trips did she have to make? Down there, and she ran. Down, back, down, back. How much does 1 gallon of water weigh? 8 pounds. Multiply that by 250. I get a number around like 2,000? 2,000. How many pounds in a ton? 2,000. She carried 1 ton of water and she looked like little Jessica. That's what she looked like. And she ran with a ton of water until she had fed the watered all of the camels. So here's the thing. Rebecca was completely oblivious to the fact that she was under a test. She didn't know she was being tested, did she? But if she passed this test, you know what's going to happen to her? She was going to become the richest woman in the East. She was going to marry the son, heir to the wealth of Abraham, the richest man in the East. She had one test to pass. She didn't know. She didn't know. You see, listen to me, church. Listen to me. Many times, you don't know that you're going through a test. You don't know. But you can quit through the test. You can give up. You can say, this is too hard for me. This is just too uncomfortable. I can't carry this load. I'm not going to press through. I'm not going to dig. I'm not going to push. This line can eat me. It's too hard to be a Christian. You could quit. But if you pass the test, if you pass the test, something awaits you far greater than you could ever, ever imagine. Now, you see, she wasn't being motivated by money. And neither were anybody who was giving tests to me this morning. They're not motivated by money. You would have heard this. We wanted to give more. I wanted to give to India. I wanted to give to the orphans. I wanted to give more. God was speaking to me about give more. It wasn't about me getting more. But I'm giving more, but I'm going to trust God that He's going to supply. That's the heart of every single person who testified. That's the heart of the tither. That's the heart of somebody who's giving a little more. It's because they want to bless somebody else. They want to help the gospel being preached. Do you get it? So she's not motivated by money. What she is she's motivated by helping somebody else, by being a servant to somebody else. She gives a little more than she needs to. And she does this without complaining. You know why? Listen, she never wanted what she did to be a sacrifice. Because she was feeding off this. She was loving it. She didn't want to stop halfway through and say, oh man, this is a sacrifice. I can't, God, I hope you understand, this is a sacrifice. No, she didn't want it to be called a sacrifice. Because you see, if you're loving it, it ain't a sacrifice. Get it? See, the people that are giving this way, the people that are praying this way, the people that are worshiping this way, this is not offering the sacrifice of praise. It's not offering the sacrifice of gifts. They're doing it willingly because they really want to do it. And this is what she was doing. Don't call this a sacrifice. I want to do this, and I'm giving this way, and I'm not going to complain about it. And she tried harder than she wanted to. Why? Because a true servant in the kingdom of God never does a job badly. What? Listen to me now. Listen to me. We're talking about the secrets of success. Doing a job badly would be unacceptable because you're doing it unto the Lord. You're not doing it for man. You're doing it unto the Lord. Everything that you do unto the Lord cannot be sloppy. It cannot be half done. It is your best and nothing less. It's your best fruit. Your first fruit is putting everything ahead and making serving the kingdom the most important thing. And you don't serve up sloppiness. You give your best. Hello. So she was giving her best. She was taking pride. Listen to this. She was taking pride in wanting to surprise the stranger in what she did. She wanted the stranger to go, whoa, man, you are so gone overboard. I can't believe what you've done. I'm going to ask you this question. Are people surprised by what you do for them? You're awful quiet in the synagogue. Everybody say amen, they are. Amen. They are. I know they are. Because you do things that surprise people. They go, wow, why would you do that? Well, just because I love you. All right? They're surprised. She was willing to help more than she needs to. She didn't get tired. In fact, she was energized by what she was doing. You know, if you're willing to do something, you get energized in what you're doing. Listen to this. Fatigue follows the unwilling. Fatigue follows the unwilling. If you're not willing to do it, you'll always be tired. Do you remember growing up when your parents said, make your bed, clean your room, take the trash out, how tired you were? You had to fall on the bed and say, I can't do this. I'm so tired. Remember that? Remember when you had to go to the 8 o'clock lecture on Monday morning? How tired you were? Do you remember that? But do you remember how excited you were when you went to the final lecture to complete your course and you are no more going to be going to college? You were there early. Like, this is it. I'm so glad I'm getting out of it. Well, let me tell you a story. Dennis. Mark. Mark invites Dennis and myself to go to Ramshill, the best golf course in the world, up in Borrego Springs. It's my home away from home. It's in the desert, middle of summer. We go up there, we sleep over, we're going to do a weekend of golf. We get there late the first day, we only get to finish 14 holes. I know this is boring. But nevertheless, we spend a lovely evening there, fellowshipping Suzanne and everybody else. The next morning early, we're out early. And the sun is coming up, it's baking. We decided we're going to do 2 rounds. Same day, 115 degrees. This is not a sacrifice. 115 playing golf, not a problem. Willing, no fatigue, we can do this. But we decide to start in the 15th hole. We had 4 holes to finish from the day before. So we do 40 holes of golf in one day in 115 degrees. We've got photographs to prove it. Brother Dennis is a zombie playing golf. He doesn't know which is front and which is back. I'm having to pull him with the clubs like this. This way, Dennis, follow me. And he's like, eventually we get the golf cart. We're driving right up to the green. Dennis, come this side, come out here. He plays his best round of golf in his life. He scored the lowest score, broke 80. He smashed all of us. Like, what are you doing? He didn't even know he was there. He said, how did I play? Do you think we could get him to stop? Dennis, you can't do this. It's too much for you. Your heart, brother. Your age. Look at the color of your hair. Dennis, come on. So where's the next hole, brother? Where's the next hole? I can do all things to Christ who strengthens me in the glory. You know how he can preach. between the holes, I wanted to receive an offering because he was preaching all the way through. And we finished. Was that a sacrifice for you? Not a bit. He wants to do it again. Let's do this again. She runs quickly. She runs quickly. And she fills those empty troughs. No waste of time. She didn't quit. She didn't say, this is enough. The rest of you camels, suck it up. No water for you. I'm going to do this. No, she didn't stop when she thought it was enough. She pressed on. And she gave God more time than she needed to or used to. So, here's the question. What did God do with this little, selfless, servant-hearted girl? Her name was Rebecca. She became the wife of Isaac. She inherited the wealth of Abraham and became the richest woman in the East. You see, this wasn't a once-off thing. She didn't decide one day, I'm going to be a servant to the next stranger. This was the way she always was and always will be in the future. She didn't change. I'm challenging you. This is not something that you want to start today and finish tomorrow. This is something you want to do for your life. Always. She became the wife of one of the matriarchal heads. You know, the matriarchal heads are Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. She became Isaac. This was an honor bestowed upon her by God. Well, you've got to understand something here. Listen to this. There's a thing in the Bible called the scarlet thread of redemption. It is the line through which Jesus, the Messiah, came. That line came through her. Under her lineage, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, was born into this earth because of who she was. She passed the test, and God gave her honor and wealth and position for all eternity. See, no greater increase can be given possibly, or bestowed upon anybody. They were bestowed upon this little human being. She received such honors from God. Let me say this. There's no such thing as convenient servanthood. Everything you do as a servant will be inconvenient. It just matters. The matter is that how you perceive it. Are you doing it unto the Lord? And remember, Jesus said, if you want to be great, be servant of all. If you want to increase and you want to do and be blessed of God, understand the servant-hearted principles. That's it. Because if you are, you can never fall from your knees. I'll wait for that to sink in. If you're walking and following God on your knees, you can never fall. God will lift you. God will trust you. God will increase you more and more and more and more. For blessed are the humble, for God raises them up. Amen? Amen. All right. Lord, we thank you for...